They say it doesn't work that way anymore. And I agree. It doesn't work that way. And I believe that it has never, ever worked that way. What's changed is the realization that sales is, has been, and always will be based on a positive business relationship between the professional salesperson and the prospective buyer. The business of sales is sometimes harder than actually making the sale in the first place. See, you're not only a professional salesperson, you're a business owner, but the focus always seems to be on sales. Well, we're here to help you. I've been in the sales world and training sales professionals for over four decades. My name's Morris Sims. I've seen some great salespeople fail because they didn't run their business very well. Well, we're going to share success concepts and interview some great entrepreneurs who are going to help you in your business. Welcome to the Business of Sales. Over the last 2.5 years, I have interviewed over 130 people about sales. We've talked about a lot of things related to the sales process and how we think about sales. And, you know, I got to tell you, I've learned a lot. I've used what I've learned in some cases to change what I do and how I think for the better. And I've learned some things that I definitely do not want to do and ways that I do not want to think. But we call all that getting an education, right? Well, here's one thing that it's just been consistent in all of the interviews and sales discussions I've had. The sales gurus of today believe that the sales process has changed and the prospect has changed. It's no longer a transaction-based process. It's now a relation-based process, relationship-based process. They say that the old sales process involved answering objections and asking for the sale and manipulating people to buy your product. They say it doesn't work that way anymore. And I agree. It doesn't work that way. And I believe that it has never, ever worked that way. What's changed is the realization that sales is, has been, and always will be based on a positive business relationship between the professional salesperson and the prospective buyer. Does the prospect know more today about the options that are available? Yeah. Does the prospect want to get to the bottom line faster than in the past? Well, maybe, but I'm not so sure that's really changed. Busy driver type style people, they've always wanted to get to the bottom line fast. Are people more skeptical today than they were in the past? Well, I don't think so. We all tend to have some skeptical tendencies for self-protection. And frankly, I ran into a bunch of those folks back in the 80s and 90s. I don't necessarily think it's a whole lot different. If what they called the old sales process is how people were trying to sell, and they may have sold one widget today, but I bet you they never sold another widget to that same customer. Those people gave every professional salesperson a bad rap. And they caused a lot of folks to be skeptical anytime they entered into a sales situation. But I don't believe the sales process has changed a whole lot. People may have learned that it is in no way about manipulating other folks, and it's not about getting them to decide to do something they don't want to do. I mean, think about it. Come on. Short of physical coercion, is there anything that anybody could say to you that's going to cause you to actually do something that you do not want to do? My friends, thank you again for listening to The Business of Sales. We appreciate you. Hey, a quick bit of news for you just to get started today. Our friend and mentor, Dr. Randy Marshall. Well, Randy has taught many of us in the world of sales over the years. He makes no apology for his faith and his Christianity. He is in Poland right now, helping with the refugees and providing aid to the Ukrainians. Randy has taught there for several years to help build leaders to plant churches in that country. Now he works to help get them medicine and clothes and food and, yeah, even bulletproof vests. So please pray for Randy and his mission and his safe travels on all his many trips back and forth. And if you're moved to help support this work, go to a website. It's tccp.pro. That's the Center for Church Planters. tccp.pro, P-R-O, and share your treasure to help a people who are truly in need of physical and spiritual support at this time. Carla and I have been blessed, and we've given to this organization because I know every penny is going to go to help a family in Ukraine and to spread the gospel. You know, our Lord taught us, as often as you've done this for one of my least brothers, you did it for me. Thank you for your support, and thank you so much for listening to The Business of Sales. Hey, let's get back to the show. Bribes and threats of hurting your loved ones are, well, that's coercion. It's not sales. The sales process is about educating the prospect about the solutions to the problem that they need to solve. Somebody says, hey, I need a new car. Well, you know, in reality, they don't need a new car. They need a means of transportation to support what their family wants. They want to get to and from work so they can earn a living to take care of their family. They want to take trips to enjoy each other's company and the people they love. They want to go to the movies and see the new Top Gun movie. Oh, that's the greatest movie I've seen in years, by the way. And you know, I can provide you information about whatever mode of transportation that I deal with, that I provide for you and your family. I can answer your questions and your concerns. I can help you make a decision. But that decision is yours, and it's yours alone. I hope I've provided you with information that you need to choose to decide to buy my solution to your problem, but the decision's yours, not mine. I may be able to provide some influence, but still, the decision is ultimately always made by the prospect. It seems that now I hear more and more about relationships and how you have to be, a good person to build a positive business relationship in order to be successful. And we hear that. I think I hear it more and more now. I hear people talking about integrity and how you have to have integrity when dealing with a prospect. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you this. I was taught the importance of those things back in 1984 when I joined New York Life and I went out to make a living selling life insurance, which I thankfully did. We were taught to build that real positive business relationship. We were taught to be on the prospect side of the table, not in a physical or mentally adversarial position at all. We were on the side of the prospect. Yeah, we were taught to answer objections, and we were also taught that in reality, it wasn't so much an objection as it was the client asking for more information so that they could make the best informed decision about themselves and their family. It's not about me convincing you to do something you don't want to do. It's about me providing you with information that you didn't have, information that you needed to be able to understand the importance and understand how to protect your family from a financially devastating situation. Hey, y'all, hang on for just a second. I got something I just got to tell you. I'm giving away some free stuff, all right? Free stuff. I've got a copy in there of my ebook, Practical Influence, with ideas to help you improve your influence with other people. I've got some great marketing and prospecting ideas that are on an audio file, so you can listen to it while you work out or drive or whatever you'd like to. And we've also got some stuff in there on planning for 2022 to help you make 2022 your best year ever. Just go to MorrisSims.com/free stuff. That's MorrisSims.com/free stuff and get your free stuff. It's just that easy. All right, now back to the show. So now the bandwagon is caught up with what we were taught back then and what we were teaching people all along and frankly, long before I learned how to be a professional salesperson. The old sales process was used back then, and frankly, I think it's still practiced today by some people who just haven't been taught the proper professional way to sell. I tend to identify those people rapidly when I'm out there in the real world, and it ain't right, I know, but I play with them a bit and, you know, answer questions the way I think they want me. I shouldn't do that. What I do, though, is eventually I just move on. I just move on and I find some other way to solve my problem. Let's take a minute and just look at the professional sales process, okay? Just for grins. First of all, we approach the prospect with a real conversation in the same way that you might approach anybody that you want to become friends with. There's no special language on this part. You're just introducing yourself and asking them to enter into a conversation with you. The transition is made to discussing business at some point of time, and it may not even be in that initial conversation, but somewhere along the line, somebody's going to say something like, gee, what do you do? And then you're going to have an opportunity to answer that question and enter into that business conversation. Maybe it's that 20-second elevator talk. I hate that name, don't you? An elevator talk. But it works and it makes sense. It's what you tell somebody when they say, gee, what do you do? And you just stepped onto an elevator. So between the ground floor and the 10th floor, you've got to tell them what you do. So that's that 20-second elevator talk. Secondly, we gain permission to enter into a discovery conversation. The purpose of this conversation is to find out what the prospect wants and why they want it. Golly, that's probably more important or as important as what they want. What is the problem that they need to solve? That's the what part. What are the facts? And I'm listening in an intent, focused fashion because I sincerely want to know more about the person that I'm talking to. I'm not just thinking about what I'm supposed to say next. Third, we analyze the information that we discovered with our professional skill and knowledge, we make a recommendation to the prospect about how to solve the problem and get what they want. Fourth, we help the prospect make a decision. It doesn't matter to the professional salesperson if the prospect buys or not. Well, sure, okay, maybe that's a rough statement. It always matters, and you always want to help them, and you always want them to buy, but in the long haul, it really doesn't matter to the professional salesperson what decision they make. It's more important that they make a decision. See, the pro knows that one sale, no matter how big, it's just not going to make or break their career. The pro also knows that it's important that the prospect makes what they believe to be the best decision for themselves and their family. The pro knows that there are a whole bunch of people out there, an abundance of people who need and want to purchase whatever it is that we provide. It's my job as a professional salesperson to go out there and find those folks and help them solve their problem. The fifth step is to stay with the new client and continue to nurture that relationship. This is not a one-time transaction experience when it's done properly. People in the United States buy many cars over the course of a lifetime. Would you agree? Well, we bought 12 or 13 cars from the same guy in New Jersey during our time in the Northeast. We even came back to New Jersey, all the way to Bridgewater, New Jersey, from Westchester County, New York, to buy two new cars from our friend Angelo. Why? Well, Angelo built a positive, trusting relationship with us when we were at the dealership the first time, the second time, the third time, and all the subsequent times that we ever went in there to buy a car. It didn't take long before all I had to do was call. Angelo, hey, it's Morris. Look, I need the lease. The lease is up on the old Grand Cherokee. It's time to buy a new one, so I need to come in and take a look at what your new Grand Cherokees looked like. I'm looking for one that has this, that, or the other feature. Put together some ideas for me, and we'll come in. Are you going to be there Saturday? Great. Morning? We'll be there about 9:30. We'd go in, and Angelo would already have four or five cars pulled over to the side for us to drive. There was never any pressure. I've got to go get my sales manager involved. There was no other tactic used, nothing like that at all. I trusted Angelo because he was sincere. He was never fake. And he always wanted to help us get what we wanted. He was never pushing any particular make, model, or style on us at all. I'll never forget the time we went in to buy new cars, including my son's first new car. He wanted a truck. And I told Angelo that on the phone, that we were looking at Sebrings for Carla and a truck for Ross. We got there, and Angelo threw three sets of keys to Ross, and he said, the best trucks are right over there. You go on over and take a look at those three and bring one around that you want to test drive. You know, I got to tell you, I have never seen before or after such a smile on my son's face as when he drove that huge black Ram 1500 around to where we were standing and we were looking at Sebrings. It was one of the best days of my life. I kind of get choked up when I think about it, and I tell that story, even today, 17 years later, because literally, I have never seen him that happy before or after. Well, maybe at his wedding last year. But other than that, I've never seen him that happy before or after that situation. Hey, I got a question for you. What's your favorite destination for a few relaxing days to unwind and recharge your batteries, or your favorite place to take the family for some big fun? Find that picture in your mind. Go on, do it now. Have you got it? Well, now think about all the planning and the booking and the flights and the reservations and all the rest of those other pesky details that you have to go through just to get to that beautiful picture in your mind. Now, what if somebody took all those details and made it easy? Make it easy for you to get there and do what you want to do. Well, that's what our friends at Small World Big Fun can do for you. They make travel easy. All you got to do is show up and have fun. The great people at Small World Big Fun are going to handle all the details that you want them to handle. You want to go to Disney? Hey, they know all the secrets. River cruises in Europe, Cancun beach trips, Belize maybe, cruise Alaska, or cruise anywhere. You name it, and Small World Big Fun can plan it and make it happen for you. Really, I've been using Small World Big Fun for years, and frankly, so has the rest of our family. We just show up and have fun. Cindy Miner and her 42 other great agents are going to make it easy on you to show up and enjoy life. So go to smallworldbigfun.com or call Small World at 501-831-5211. That's 501-831-5211. Call them now and get started planning for your next trip to that absolutely beautiful picture that you saw back when this conversation began. You know, I can see it now. The white sandy beaches of the Redneck Riviera all along the Gulf of Mexico, and it's calling me. Golly gee, can you hear the waves? Yeah, I can smell the ruby red Gulf shrimp on the grill. Redfish fresh from the boat for dinner and, oh. Hey, Carla, bring me a drink, would you? And adjust the umbrella, the sun's in my eyes again. We all do business with people that we believe we can trust. People we like, people we built a positive business relationship with. Frankly, I believe we always have, and we always will. Best wishes to each and every one of you guys out there for just have an outstanding end to the year, okay? Your results are determined by what you choose to do about those things that you control. Glance at the other junk. Gaze at the activities that you control that make up your strategic action plan. Until next time, y'all just go out there and make it a great week, okay? I'll see you next time. Thanks so much for listening.